we normally do on Sunday morning is what you call expository teaching. We just take a verse at a time and try not to sidestep anything. Just take it like it is. And I'm going to do that this morning with the Christmas lesson. And so a lot of wonderful things in it. We'll just talk a few minutes here. And so you go to Luke chapter number 2, and that's where we're going to discuss and to talk about this, if God would anoint us and help us. Without this, there wouldn't be anything else. So we're going to teach this great lesson. That Sermon on the Mount would have never been if this day had not been. All that great teaching and all of the wonders of the Bible, if Christ had not came as God had promised. The prophecy, I believe, is in the book of Micah. I believe that's where it told that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And I'm not sure, I don't have time, I guess, to look that up. But the prophecy was in Micah. Talked about Bethlehem being a small town. How many knows a great Savior came from a small town? Now, you may not understand, and I don't understand God. I sure don't. If His ways are higher than mine, and I guess that you'd think a king was going to be born, he sure wouldn't be born in a little town called Bethlehem. And most definitely, he wouldn't be born out in a barn somewhere. But God doesn't operate on our schedule and on our reasoning, rationale. God is God, and He knowed what He was doing. And so he picked the poorest of families, poor little girl, Mary, just a poor little girl. And He said, right here is the one. But you know, He chose a young lady to be the vessel of the Holy Ghost. He chose a little girl that was pure and virtuous and loved God. And how many knows that wisdom is greater than weapons of war? And virtue is better, amen, than anything earthly that we can have. And so we're gonna talk to you about it came to pass in those days. Amen. Now that almost sounds like an ordinary place in history. It was during the rule of the Roman Empire. The fourth Caesar reigned. Caesar Augustus was reigning in Judea or the whole world. And of course, he had conquered Judea. And so Judea was a tributary of the great Roman world government. They expanded all the way to Great Britain. It was just about the whole civilized world, Rome, was ruling. Praise God. And the Roman Empire was at its pinnacle. It had more land at this time than ever would have. I think it's ironic that Almighty God would take this opportunity to send His only Son down in the midst of a great nation that it was godless, that were heathen infidels, and He sent Christ down to literally conquer the world that was being ruled by the Roman government. And so we see that it came to pass in those days. And I want to say this right here. The prophets of God had prophesied this day for hundreds of years. The Jews had heard this, and the common man had heard this. It was common knowledge that the Messiah was coming. And some of y'all are here this morning, and you've heard the Word of God, and great hope has been placed in your heart and mind. And you wonder, is that day ever coming when I'll get relieved? And I'm going to tell you, amen, by and by, in the process of time, in due time, when the time is fulfilled, God's Word is going to come to pass. Not one jot or one tittle. So, in obedience to the word of God. Now, I want you to notice this. There went a decree from Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the whole known world, all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and Judea fell under that jurisdiction. And so all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. How many in the story of the Christmas card story, how many can see the divine providence of God working in this? I don't know. You know, the Bible said all things work together for good. You might say, well, the Romans conquering the world was not God's will. But the Bible said that all things work together for them that love God. God took this brutal world ruler and put in his heart and mind to do the taxation. You say it's just a chance, just a luck of the draw. No, it was divine providence. How many knows right now God has his hand on the affairs of our world? We might throw our hands up and say it's out of control, but it really is not out of control. Can somebody say amen? Now, we're free moral agents, and men make, and just like Judas, a lot of people says, well, he was destined to go to hell from the very beginning. But, you know, he had a free moral choice. He sure did. But this Roman government rose up and God put it in the heart to tax the whole world. Now, here's a little girl over here in Jerusalem or in the Galilee, and she has to get up 7 miles away. You would have thought a king would have been born in Jerusalem, the capital city. Now, it had already been prophesied that the baby was going to be born in the city of David. Now, a lot of people, you know, Jerusalem was called the city of David, but it wasn't really. How many knows what the real city of David, what does it mean to be the city? It's the city where you were born. How many knows a shepherd in a shepherd's home in Bethlehem? How many knows what the word Bethlehem means? Anybody studied that? Bethlehem means the house of bread. What better place in all the world than this little small town? I've been there, Brother Mike, and we were going again. You know, we were going. You might get a go for it. So Brother Thomas is taking a group. But I don't know if you'd want to. They might get locked up. That's a little different now. But I went to Bethlehem. It's under the rule of the Palestinians now. But that Bethlehem was a quaint little old small town. And here come this poor girl and her husband down to Bethlehem. 7 miles, I believe, when I read this morning. 7 miles back from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. That's how far the two cities. I don't know how far they had traveled, exactly where they were coming from. But they traveled down there. Now, I want you to get this. There's a lot of great preaching in this. But here's why I want us to try to focus on and relate this to today's living. Praise God. How many of you this morning know that most of our world, like I mentioned earlier, don't believe in this? They don't believe this story. They don't believe a virgin could conceive from the Holy Ghost and bear a son. But it happened. How many believe this story? And so divine providence has them going down into Bethlehem, and they go to an inn. And I want you to notice something. He was born. An inn is for the wayfaring man. It's not somebody that's going to stay. It's just somewhere to stay for a little while and move on. That's the kind of people we are. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are just passing through. Huh? So I think it was kind of ironic that Christ was born in an inn or in the stable of an inn. The place, Brother Darrell, he came for the man that was just going to be here a little while and leave. And I tell you, time flies. And when you're a season like this and you sit around and reminisce and ponder, I thank God for memory, good memory. But you wonder how fast. It seemed like just yesterday that I was turning the paper loose on the end of that racetrack. Oh, Mom didn't know that. I'm in trouble. And tape it back down. And see, you know them little old things? Brother Josh, I finally got that. I'd wanted that thing so long. I finally got that. And you push it down, it'd fly off the track. I never could get it to stay on the track. And it's just a waste of time. You know how kids are. It seemed like just yesterday. Now I got little old grand boys that's coming up, running around, carrying on. Huh? Time flies. And so the Lord came, and I think it was kind of symbolic that he was coming into a world where people were moving fast, and they were going to be live today and die tomorrow. And so they came up to the innkeeper, and I want you to notice this. If you were an innkeeper, and a lady and a gentleman came to your door, and she was great with child, would you turn her out to the barn? Huh? Do you know what I think? And a lot of times people can preach this innkeeper a different way. But do you know why I think she ended up in the barn? She didn't have enough rubles in the sack. Huh? She wasn't a paying customer. She didn't have nothing. They were poor as dirt. Huh? And so, hey, how many knows that that's the reason a lot of folks won't accept the Lord now? They're looking, if it ain't got it right here, they ain't interested. If it ain't going to help the bottom line. Now, there's some people who come to church, if it's election time, think they're going to get voted in or makes them look better. But I'll tell you, this old innkeeper looked at them over. He saw this lady that was about ready to have a child. Huh? I mean, you have sympathy when somebody. I remember Sister Helen, a guy came through here one day and told me his wife was expecting and needed a place to lay down. And so I let him stay in the trailer out here. You know, I never really looked at her that close to see. But he said she was expected and sick and weary. I let her out here. They left. They took all the pots and all the towels and washcloths and everything with them. And so you do have to be a little careful. But you know, I don't think that was the problem here. It wasn't he didn't trust them. I think he just looked at them and said, you know, they can't even pay for this room. I'm going to give this room to the paying customer. It was crowded, no doubt. But I want to ask you something this morning. Is there something in your life crowding out the Son of God? If he's not preeminent, he's not there at all. This man had an attitude that it wasn't going to be good for him if he hadn't let him in. But you know, God knows what he's doing. They went out, and I don't know if he said, okay, you can't stay here, but there's a barn out here. He may have just went out there to get his donkey and said, you know, this is probably the best we're going to do. And the Bible said, well, y'all heard this over. I enjoy it. Listen to this. And it says, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Now I want you to notice, she brought her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, just like you would any other baby, laid him in a manger. That's not like any other baby, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. And there were, listen to this, we're going to turn gears here. And there were in the same countries shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want you to look at this right here with me. Amen. These men were out there working. They were wide awake. They were watching their flock by night, working the night shift. When all of a sudden, amen, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Praise God. Well, you know, these men, there's another group of characters in the Christmas story. We call them the wise men, and I'm not sure how much longer they entered in. Probably not at this particular moment, time, but somewhere later than that, they came in also. But I want you to notice how different sects of people. The wise men were probably Gentiles, probably didn't have, but he led them there by a star. But here these shepherds are out in the field, and he brings a angel band and the glory of the Lord. How many knows that this birth, amen, merited the glory of God in the heavens. And I want you to notice what these evangelistic angels had to say. The first thing they said, and I believe it's a message that we could use this morning. The first thing they said, amen, was fear not. Praise God. They were very afraid of the happening. Praise God. A lot of people are afraid of religion, aren't they? A lot of people are afraid. They don't understand. They say, who do I believe? What's true? What's right? But these angels appeared and said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings. Praise God. How many knows that that's the gospel? Good tidings. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Good tidings. Well, what's the good about this? What is the good news? Brother, that's what we need to preach this morning in this church house, is the good tidings. Amen. He said, I bring you good tidings. Amen. For what is the good news? For which shall be to all people. Amen. Aren't you glad that he came with a message for the whole wide world? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice that. Savior, capital S, capital C-H-R-I-S-T. The Christ. Amen. The anointed one, the Messiah, the Lord is born. Amen. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the fifth floor of a nice hospital up there. If you'll go ask the head nurse, she'll let you look through the glass and see this cute little cuddly critter. He'll be there among all the other. No, that's not going to be the sign. Amen. The sign, amen. And I want to ask you, does anybody else have ever heard of a baby born in a manger? Praise God. Amen. Can you think of anything stranger? Hallelujah. Amen. But he said this is going to be a sign. And a sign is not like anything else. It stands out. It's different. When you see this, you know what's coming. Praise God. He said, I'm going to give you a sign that this is the Christ. You're going to find a baby, amen, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. Oh, hallelujah. I know this is a simple little Christmas card story, amen, but I'll tell you what, I believe it with all of my heart. And there's power in this, amen, and it says, you shall find him lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Well, I tell you what, we stir this up this morning, Brother Mike. If God just knocked the lights out, about 100 angels will hover over. Brother, I could lay my mic down. I wouldn't have to say, help me while I'm preaching. Huh? I wouldn't have to say, are you listening? I wouldn't have to say, wake your neighbor up. Praise God. I wish the glory of God would come in here, amen, and just hover down over us and say, I got some good news. How many could use a little good news this morning? Amen. He said, I got some good news for you. Fear not. I've got good tidings. I've got good news straight from heaven. There's a Savior born in a manger in Bethlehem in the city of David. Amen. And this is going to be a sign unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like preaching a little bit to you this morning. Amen. And then the Bible said, and this always happens. He said, and when the angels were gone away. Now what are you going to do with it? I wonder sometimes, as I've preached here since 1983, September. I don't know how many years that's been. That's how long it's been. September of 83, and I preached it. I'll be honest with you, my preaching is not always the best in the world. Well, it ain't hardly ever the best. It ain't never the best in the world. But I'll tell you what, I preach, I can honestly say I preach to you the truth every time I've ever preached, as far as my little old brain could figure it out. Amen. And I've tried to preach with anointing, sometimes more than others, but I've tried, amen, to do my part. Amen. But here's what I want to ask, because sometimes I sit back and look 25 years or whatever it's been of preaching, and I wonder, amen, what are we going to do with what we've heard? Not only have I preached, but some of the greatest men ever lived preached in here. I got a picture up there on my desk of me and Brother LD sitting right here on the altar. Becky looked like it was about a year and a half, 2 years old. I was holding her in my lap, and Brother Moore was sitting here by me, that coal black hair and looking that revival he preached for us many years ago. And I take time, and I thought some of the greatest men that have ever been through here. And I'll tell you what these shepherds did when the angels were gone and the message was over and the stillness came back. They looked at each other and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to go see, amen, this one. He didn't go say, I'm going to go see if this is true or not. They knew it was true. Praise God forevermore. That's the difference, amen, and you coming to church skeptical. I don't know about that. I might try that out and see if this old holiness is right or not. There's a difference in that, and I believe that's right. I'm going to go see. These men, if you notice, I didn't read it to you, but if you notice, these men did not say, boy, that's strange. I just wonder. Brother Mike, if it had been like that, they'd have said, you and you stay with the sheep. Me and you will go check it out, and we'll come back and tell you. They wasn't nobody. Are you listening to me? They weren't going to stand there and say, they said, let's go see. Let's go see. And you know what they did? They come up on this barn, and I might as well read it to you, I guess. But, brother, it was just like the angel said. It was the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is right. And if you'll have enough, amen, of faith in you to launch out and say, amen, I'm going to go see if this thing is really true or not. No, I know this is true. I'm going to respond to what I've heard. Brother, it'll change your very life. These were not skeptical shepherds. Praise God. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Did you hear that word? They came with haste. Now, haste is when you come out and on Sunday and you say, have you seen my tie? I'm going to be late. Well, that's not the same kind of haste. Amen. But I'll tell you what this kind of haste does. It makes you get ready an hour early. Sitting there ready to go, just waiting to go to church. Amen. Because you've heard the great message. I'm about to feel like preaching a little bit this morning. I tell you, church, we've fallen asleep. Amen. And the babe's in the manger. And we don't even have enough desire, amen, to go see what we know is true. No, it's true. My mama raised me up in fear of the Lord. And I'm telling you, Mom, it's going to give it to you like it is. There was never a day in my young life that I think, I wonder if my mom really believes this or not. There was never a doubt in me that there was a doubt in her. Never. Now, there was in me as an old boy. I don't know about all this. But I know she believed it with all her heart. I'll tell you, your kids are watching you. Amen. And you want to be a parent and you want to do them right the first few years of their life, probably the first 3 or 4 years of their life, they're going to learn more by your reaction and your impulses than they will anything you say or do. Hey, are you listening to me? You could thrash them or whatever you want, but they're going to learn more discipline and direction. How many knows you need both discipline and direction? Amen. And come on now. Amen. I want to tell you something here this morning. Amen. We need to believe what we've heard and respond to it. If we have to leave the sheep in the field, hallelujah. You see them walking down toward the barn. Wonder what them sheep will do while we're gone. You reckon them sheep will be all right? I don't know about this, boys. I think we might order. What happened if a wolf gets in there and kills some of our sheep? That'd be $400 right down the drain. What are we going to do if we lose a little sheep? They never one time. I don't think they did. I don't think one time. Brother, it was such a glorious message. Huh? I remember when I got saved, when I really got saved, Brother Zane, I didn't look back at the world and things I was doing. How can I give that up? How can I give up? What am I going to do with all my buddies? No. When I felt like I needed to get saved, I made haste to an altar prayer, and I begged the Lord Jesus. I hate to bore you like this. Amen. And I know it ain't boring to me. I'm so excited right now, I can shout my new shoes off. Amen. I could. Praise God. I want to tell you, I'm glad I heard this great story, and I'm glad I believe it this morning. How many believes it with me this morning? Brother, there wasn't nothing more important in all the world that when they went in there and when they came up there, listen to this. Listen what they saw. You say, well, I ain't never seen nothing around church. I ain't even interested enough to come. I wish I wasn't here. My wife drugged me out here this morning. Well, let's see what happened. The Bible, listen to this. This is great. It said it came to pass as the angels were gone away. They came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Well, what did you think they'd find? They're just celebrating out there. And when they had seen it, listen to what happened to them now. I'm talking about these glorious shepherds. And when they had seen it, you know what gets me, church, and I'm just going to be honest with you. It's how uninterested we are in the things that the angels have told us. Huh? How uninterested. This brought such a zeal. This brought such a motivation in their life that it meant more than anything else in the world to them. How many knows that's the way it's got to be? And when they had seen it, look what happened. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, this world is wondering this morning. But I'll tell you where you need to get this message. In your heart. Are you with me? I said this world is wondering about Jesus. But Mary kept them in her heart. How about you? Where's it at? Is it in your head this morning? Or is it in your heart? And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And it was told unto them. We ought to really be shouting this morning. We've done heard it. We've already seen it. We believe it. We ought to be just hooping and hollering and shouting and praising God. We ought to sing, joy to the world. Now you might say that's a little hard to shout on. Does it have to be a certain rhythm? Come on now. Let's stand. Wake him up. Stand. Wait, let's wake up here. Man, there we go. Yeah, we're about to get up. Okay. Whoa, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I believe this right here. When we relegate this Christmas message to just another on the wall, we're going to be lost as a goose. But as long as this message stays alive in our heart, those shepherds went and shared it abroad to the world. Let me ask you this. Is it your intentions when you leave this place to go share this with the world? Is it that real to you? Is it that true to you? Is it that glorified and powerful to you that you want to share it with those around you? Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's